Welcome to the MRBC Podcast. Let's join Pastor Tim Yazel for today's message.
So I invite you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, and we will be looking there for our message in just a few moments. A message that I've entitled, Truth is Stranger Than Fiction. Did you know that 2,500 left-handed people a year are killed from using products made for right-handed people? But by the grace of God, I'm here today. According to Scientific American magazine, and I researched this, I did diligent research on this week, a cockroach can live several weeks with its head cut off. It dies of starvation. Did you know that a man named Charles Osborne had hiccups for 68 years? An estimated 430 million hiccups. They stopped about a year before he died. Sometimes truth truly is stranger than fiction. What seems to be so strange oftentimes really is true. This one astounds me. On December 20th, 1922, the first worker to die during the construction of the Hoover Dam was J.G. Tierney. Exactly 13 years later to the day, the last person died during the construction of the Hoover Dam. It was J.G. Tierney's son, Patrick Tierney. Sometimes truth truly is stranger than fiction. Sometimes we need to do that which sounds so strange. If you want a black Corvette convertible, you become a missionary. And then you drive a borrowed car the rest of your life. Sometimes what we need to do sounds so strange. God, you want me to do what? Sometimes what is best for us does not make sense. Did you get that? I'm trying to get that. Sometimes what is best for us does not make sense. Someone once said, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. Sometimes we need to do what sounds so strange. Sometimes what is best for us does not make sense. That's because God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. God always knows best. God always does what is best. So today, I'd like for us to look at a man that had this experience. He was asked to do something that sounded so strange, but it was the best way. It was the only way. I call your attention to 2 Kings chapter 5, 2 Kings chapter 5, and I'd like to begin reading with verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." The maid said, "I wish my Lord was with the prophet that's there in Samaria. I know the prophet would help him with his leprosy." Naaman was a valiant man, a valiant soldier. He was a powerful man. But Naaman had a problem. Naaman was a leper. Back then, to say that somebody was a leper was somewhat like saying today that somebody has HIV, that they're HIV positive, that there is no known cure. There's not a lot that we can do. And so Naaman was a leper. This was a curse in his time, considered a curse. A valiant man, but taken down by leprosy. But Naaman's wife had a servant girl, and the servant girl convinced him to go to the prophet Elisha for healing. "Go to the prophet. I'm sure he can help. I'm sure that he can and will do something for you." But look what Naaman did. He gathered up some gifts. He got a letter to the king. And then he was sent to Elisha. Look at verse 4, if you would, with me. "And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he, Naaman, departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' So the king of Syria sent Naaman along with this letter to the king of Israel. The king of Israel read the letter and said, 'What am I supposed to do? I don't have the power to kill and to make alive. I don't have the power to heal a man of his leprosy. What am I supposed to do? The king of Syria wants to start a quarrel. He wants battle.' But he sent Naaman along with the letter to the king of Israel. Elisha heard that the king had rent his clothes, and Elisha said, 'Have him come to me. I'll show him that there is a prophet in Israel.' And so Naaman came to Elisha's house. Elisha didn't even go out to meet him. He sent a messenger, a servant, basically, out to meet Naaman. Now keep in mind, Naaman was a powerful man. He was a valiant soldier. He was a leader of the king's armies. He was important. And he comes to Elisha, and Elisha doesn't even go out to meet him. Doesn't even go out to shake hands with him. He sends a servant with a message. And the message is this: go wash 7 times in the Jordan River. You will be cleansed. Have any of you ever seen the Jordan River? Any of you seen it? It is not much to speak of. In fact, there are places that a 3-year-old can walk across the Jordan River where it starts out. Not necessarily definitely not one of the 7 wonders of the world. Just a dirty old river. And Elisha says to Naaman, go wash 7 times in the Jordan and you will be cleansed. Well, let's read on. Verse 11. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Now, when Naaman first gets the message, go wash 7 times in the Jordan River, he was angry. He was really upset. Why? Well, I think there are a few reasons here. First of all, Naaman may have thought that he could buy his healing. Remember, he brought all sorts of valuable gifts with him, silver and clothing. And it might be that he thought that he could purchase his healing. He was an important man, probably a wealthy man. I'll go to this prophet and I will just bestow lavish gifts upon him, and he'll have no choice but to heal me of my leprosy. So his first mistake was he thought he could buy his healing. His second mistake was he thought he deserved better. I mean, after all, he's Naaman. Back home, he's somebody. People listen to him. People obey him. People fear him. He goes to Elisha, and Elisha doesn't even come out to greet him. Now, Naaman, in his mind, had this idea that when he would come to Elisha, Elisha would come out and in this big, showy display, he would call upon the name of the Lord. And he would shout out to his God. And then he'd wave his hand over the spot, perhaps over the spot where there was leprosy. He'd do some fancy thing. He'd whap him on the forehead and say, be healed. I mean, that's how they do it on TV. Naaman thought there would be something really important done to Naaman. You know, I mean, magic wand or magic powder or something. That there would be something that would indicate that he was going to be healed. That Elisha would make this big display of waving his hand over the leprosy. He thought Elisha would come out and be impressed that a man as great as Naaman would come into Elisha's presence. He thought Elisha would read the letter from the king of Syria. And then he'd command the spirits to bring healing, or whatever it was that healers are supposed to do. But Elisha sends a messenger and says, just go wash 7 times in the Jordan. No big deal, Naaman thought. 7 times in that dirty old river? I want to be clean. Go wash in the dirty Jordan River. And so Naaman's third mistake was Naaman had a better plan. I mean, after all it takes for me to be healed is to wash 7 times in the Jordan River, we have far better rivers back home. The Jordan barely even qualifies as a river in some places. The Pharpar and Abana in Damascus, Syria are far better rivers. I'll just go wash there. If that's all it takes, I'll go wash there. But his servant girl said, Master, if he had asked you to do something really hard, if he had said, go climb to the top of the tallest mountain and you'll be healed, you would have done it. If he would have said, give $1 million to me and I'll heal you, you would have done it. Why not do what he asked you to do? And then the fourth problem is Naaman thought he could work for his healing. He thought he could work for his healing. He would have been willing, I think the servants pointed out, he would have been willing to do something great in order to get healed. Whatever Elisha asked, he would have been willing to do it. If Elisha told him to go find a lion and slay it with his bare hands, he would have tried. He thought he could work for his healing. He was willing, apparently, to work for his healing, but that's not God's plan. God had a plan for Naaman's healing. God had a very simple plan. God's simple plan of healing. But it certainly did not fit Naaman's expectations. Go wash 7 times in the Jordan. Isn't that a strange way to heal a leper? Find the dirtiest river you can find and go wash 7 times in this dirty old river and you'll be clean. But I want you to get this. I want to nail this down. Naaman could not buy his healing because it was free. Naaman did not merit healing because of his position. Naaman could not be healed by any plan of his own. He could only be healed by the plan that God had, communicated by God's prophet. And Naaman could not work for his healing. The healing was provided by God to him. Elisha was God's messenger to tell Naaman of God's plan. Elisha presented God's plan, and Naaman could only, now I want you to get this, Elisha presented God's plan, and Naaman could only accept it or reject it. Those were his only two options. He could either accept God's plan communicated by Elisha, or he could reject it. His only two choices. I think it's probably pretty obvious to you by now that Naaman is a type of every sinner. Every one of us is a sinner. Some are sinners, praise God, saved by grace, and some are sinners that have yet to come into God's grace. But Naaman is a type of every one of us. We all have At some point in our lives, we all have a need for healing, spiritual healing, forgiveness, as Matt described, because we are all sinners. And just like Naaman, we cannot buy our forgiveness. Why not? Why can't we buy our forgiveness? Because it's too costly. It cost the perfect blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, to be shed on the cross. We are incapable of paying that price. We cannot buy our forgiveness. Secondly, we do not deserve forgiveness. Regardless of who we are, we do not deserve our forgiveness. Third, we cannot come up with our own way to obtain forgiveness. Well, maybe if I keep the Ten Commandments, well, of course, you know, I've already messed up there, but maybe if I mostly keep the Ten Commandments, maybe if from this point on I keep the Ten Commandments, oh, it's going to be hard, but if I really try to keep the Ten Commandments, maybe I will have kept more than I've broken, and God will forgive me and let me into His heaven. We try to come up with our own way. We try to come up with a better way. Well, maybe if I get baptized and join the church and give money to the poor, and there is only one way, God's simple plan of salvation, and there is no plan B. We cannot come up with our own way because there is no better way. There is only one way to find forgiveness, and that is in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And fourth, we cannot work for God's forgiveness. It is a free gift. And yet today, many learn of God's plan of salvation, His plan for forgiveness, and they respond, "Oh, that's just crazy. That is strange. That can't be all there is to it. There's got to be more. I want to do something. I want to work for it. I want to earn it. I want to buy it. I want to come to God in some other way, because this free gift stuff you're talking about, that's just too easy." But Jesus Himself said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And in Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And yet many say, "No way. No way. This doesn't make sense. This is a strange way to save a sinner." But you know what? God wasn't concerned about whether or not it makes sense to us. He knew it wouldn't. He knew that His simple plan of salvation would not make sense to us. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Over and over and over, man keeps trying his own way to get to God. The Tower of Babel, "I'll build a tower so high that I can reach God." Idols, false gods. The Pharisees, believing that they could keep the law perfectly. But God often works in paradoxes. We must lose our life to find it. We conquer by yielding. We are exalted by humbling ourselves. We become strong by being weak. Don't try to understand God's plan for forgiveness and eternal life. Just accept it. Because to the human mind, to the natural human mind, it just doesn't make sense. But it's God's plan. And it works. And it'll work for you. You today can find the freedom, the true freedom that comes only in Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that you would accept that gift today. Let's pray. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never received this gift of forgiveness that He offers to you. You've tried every other plan. You've tried being good. You've tried keeping the Ten Commandments, which no one can do. You've tried joining a church, being baptized, giving to the poor. You've tried and tried and tried. Salvation is not about what we do. Salvation is about what has been done by Jesus Christ on the cross. He went to the cross and He paid the price. He paid the penalty for your sin. And if you will, as Matt said, side with God against yourself by saying, I am a sinner. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve forgiveness. I don't deserve heaven. But realize that Jesus Christ loved you so much that He paid the price for your forgiveness anyway. And if you will receive God's free gift, you can be saved today and find that forgiveness. I'm going to pray a prayer here in just a moment. I'm going to ask you, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you do not know this forgiveness that He offers to you, I'm going to ask you to pray it with me. You can pray silently there in your seat. And you can receive God's free gift of salvation. Won't you do that today? Just pray with me as I pray. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I don't deserve forgiveness and I don't deserve heaven. God, I know my sin has separated me from You. But I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross. And I believe that He shed His blood that my sins might be washed away. Father, right now, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Father, right now, I receive Your free gift of forgiveness. Jesus, I ask You to wash my sins away and to qualify me for heaven. Father, I receive Your free gift of eternal life, and I thank You for it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.monclovabaptist.org.